Well, today is the second sermon in a series of seven sermons on Psalm 23. And I hope you, as we study this, if you don't already appreciate what a beautiful passage of Scripture this is, I hope you grow to appreciate it, because it really is one of the most beautiful Scriptures in all of the Bible, and certainly one of the best known and most loved of all the passages. I'm excited about teaching this psalm because it is a psalm that can bring great comfort to us. You know, probably 90% of the memorials that I officiate, the family chooses this psalm to be read in the memorial. And I think it's because it addresses things in life that can really make us anxious, don't you think? Cause us to worry or to lose our peace. I think it's timely because we live, like I said during the Easter sermon, we live in anxious times. There's no doubt about it. And it's easy to be stressed out about many, many things. And if we take to heart what this psalm promises us, I think it will enable us to stay calm, to have peace, even in the midst of anxious times. So I think this series is really timely. I think there's a couple ways you can look at this psalm. You can look at it as a series of God's promises, great promises, really, and that is true. You can also look at it as a picture of the life that God has for us, you know, this abundant life that Christ came to give us. I think you can also look at it as a series of statements about who God is. And God's character, his nature, certainly comes through in this psalm. Now, I'm not sure if Don talked about this or not, but most scholars say, you know, there's always a little bit of debate among scholars about who writes what. The New Testament letters are often up for debate. And the Psalms definitely are, but most say that David is the author. David the king is the author of this psalm. And David was one of the towering figures of the Old Testament. You know, it's David and Moses. Those are the two big guys in the Old Testament. And David is the greatest king that Israel ever had, bar none. When the Zionists in Israel right now think of the kingdom of Israel, it is their desire to get back to the boundaries that Israel had during the King David's reign. No doubt he was the greatest of all their kings. But before he was a king, as we know, he was a shepherd. As a young man, as a boy, he was a shepherd. So as he writes this psalm, he is very familiar with the life of a shepherd and the relationship between the sheep and the shepherd. Now, it's up for debate also as to when David wrote this psalm, and I think this is important. Some say he wrote it when he was a young man, when he was out there with his sheep looking up at the stars one night and penned, well, he didn't pen this psalm because they didn't have pens there, but he wrote this psalm. Others say he wrote it later in life, maybe when he had experienced a number of years being kicked around a little bit by life. And I would agree with the latter. I think this psalm, as we work our way through it, you will see that it is a psalm written by somebody who knows God, doesn't know about God, but knows God. Two different things. In a very intimate, very personal way. I think it is a picture, really, of a mature faith, a tested faith, written by someone who has walked with God for a long time, and experience God's presence in all the ups and downs of life, through the tough times, and someone who knew deep in their soul, you can see it as we read it, that God, most of all, that God was with him always, that God was walked with him through all of life. David knew, if you study the life of David, which I hope we do sometime, I hope we have a sermon series on it, he knew the grace and the faithfulness of God. So this psalm shows us what a deeply personal, intimate relationship with God looks like, and what a trusting relationship with God looks like. The verse we want to focus on today as we work through this is just the second verse. But let's read the psalm in its entirety. It's printed there in your Bible or in your bulletin, and I want to read it together. One of my goals during this series is that by the end of the series, if you don't already have this psalm memorized, that you will have it memorized and definitely embedded in your heart. So let's go ahead and read this together, shall we? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Please join me in prayer. God, we pray that as we explore this beautiful passage of Scripture this morning, that you would speak to us the word that we need to hear, that we need at this present time in our lives. God, help us to see a better picture of who you are and what you have for us. And God, may this passage today prompt us to take another step forward in our walk with you, so that we, like David, may know you in a very intimate and personal way. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. So, like so much of this psalm, verse 2, it paints a picture. This is what it says. It says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. We all have a picture of our head as soon as we hear those words, don't we? And it's a picture, really, as I thought about it this week, it's a picture of peace, of serenity, wouldn't you say, of rest. And when you consider the country in which David was a shepherd, it is particularly striking, because Palestine is mostly desert. If you've been there, you know it's mostly rocky hills and desert landscape, an arid country, which is where the vegetation is mostly sparse, and it's not easy to find green pastures and still waters, especially in the summer. It has the same weather we have, kind of longer winters and or short winters and long hot summers. So David is clearly saying, I think this is interesting, that the Lord is a good shepherd who gives good things to his sheep. The Lord cares for his sheep. Now, it's important to note that although the shepherd leads his sheep to this very serene and safe place, the surrounding landscape and countryside is mostly still very harsh and full of dangerous things, like wolves and thieves and bad weather. So I think David is making a statement here that although the shepherd leads his sheep to this very serene space, peaceful space, the world around you, around the sheep, is stressful. and is dangerous and full of all kinds of unknowns. But even in the midst of that, you can find peace. This is an important thing when we talk about peace in the Bible, which is one of the great virtues of the Christian faith. You know, in Galatians 2, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit, what grows in our lives as the Spirit of God is in us as Christians. It's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness. These are the things that grow in us. Peace is one of those things, one of the gifts that God gives us. Jesus said the same thing when he said to his disciples, Jesus, the good shepherd, peace I leave to you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. It's different than other types of peace. It's peace of another kind. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Now, what's really striking about these words is that Jesus gives these words to his disciples on the night in which he was betrayed. You know, the final hours that he had with his disciples. He knew what they were facing ahead. It's going to be very tumultuous, very stressful. They would fear for their lives. And Jesus said these words in the midst of that. Oh, don't let your hearts be troubled. Peace I give to you. And it's a peace that can be present even in these very tumultuous times that are ahead. You know, I think David knew the same truth, that this peace is independent of circumstances. Because he had many ups and downs in life. And this is why I say, boy, I think this is written by someone who has experienced life. You know, he knew the victory of defeating Goliath. He knew that he experienced being hunted down to be killed by Saul, the king, who became jealous of him. He experienced tremendous moral failure when he had his affair with Bathsheba. And then killed her husband, basically, to cover it up. He had a son, Absalom, who led a rebellion against him and tried to overthrow him, and this same son died tragically. Boy, he had a lot of heartache, a lot of tough times, a lot of good times. He lived a big life. And I think when he writes these words, the Lord makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. It's just not poetry. It's his experience of knowing that God will give him peace, even in the midst of really difficult circumstances. So the question I want to ask today in the time remaining is, how do we access this peace in our lives? Because it's something that we all want, no doubt about it. It's something that we all yearn for. Well, the first thing I would say is we can access this peace by practicing the presence of God. You know, God is always with us. God's presence is always with us. It's just oftentimes we aren't paying attention, are we? And we don't make room for it. We don't open up the sails of our lives to catch the wind of God's presence. He leads us to these places, but you know what? He doesn't make us stay there. That is our decision. We have to take time to be quiet and to rest. I think this is oftentimes where we experience God's presence in our lives. You know, I have to tell you, many times I will meet a person in my office who is under extreme stress and having a really difficult time for one reason or another. Oftentimes there are tears, they're anxious, they don't see a way out of their situation. And many times they need peace. You know what I often do? I often say, you know, before we start talking about this, can we just stop for a second? Can we just take a deep breath? It's obvious to me you're really anxious, you're stressed, you're worried. Let's just take a time to pray, to be quiet, and then to pray. So no one has ever said, no, do you mind me praying for you, by the way? You know, that's interesting to me. I often pray with people as I'm talking to them in the courtyard or on the street. I don't care. God's there. They may get a little awkward about it, but that's okay. Can I pray for you? No one's ever said no. Can I pray for you? Yeah. Okay, let's spend a couple minutes just being quiet, coming into the presence of God. And then I take a deep breath, and I just pray a very simple prayer. Lord, come near. Let us sense your presence in this room and in our hearts, and let us know your peace, the very character of God. Let us know your peace. Even in the midst of this storm, let us know your peace. And you know what? Without exception, I think, things change. And there's a real sense of God's presence, the peace of Christ in the room. Now, I have to say, I need to practice this myself sometimes. You know, sometimes when I'm tossing and turning at night, and you know how you perseverate? You worry, you get all wound up. Sometimes I have to say, Steve, just slow down for a second. You know, sometimes we're like practicing atheists. You know, we say we believe in God, and yet when things get tough, it's like the last place we turn. So oftentimes I have to say to myself, Steve, just take a deep breath. Lord, come near. Let me sense your presence. So take moments during the day when you feel stressed, when you feel anxious, fearful. Take time to just practice the presence of God. Second thing I would say is we know God's peace when we remember that God has been faithful in the past and that God will be present with us even through what's ahead. You know, this last week, Tuesday, I took a flight to Colorado to spend time with my friend who is fighting, struggling, wrestling with pancreatic cancer. This is a friend of mine who I've known since college, back to UCSB days. And he's been in a covenant group. He's a Presbyterian pastor. He's been in a covenant group or a group that of pastors who meet. We've made a covenant together to meet with each other once a month, and we've been doing it for 30 years. First, we were all in the Bay Area, so we could all get together, and then we've moved different places. Now one's in Hawaii, one's in Pasadena, one's in Colorado, and I'm here in the Bay Area, so we meet for Zoom, and then once a year we get together physically for a number of days. And it's just to share life, to be friends, to support each other. And man, I tell you, it's over 30 years we've been together. You live a lot of life in 30 years. We've been through the deaths of our parents, through one a member has been divorced. We're all pastors, all from UCSB. We're all roommates, which is a miracle, right? And so we went, all four of us met to be with our friend. And to love him through this time. You know, pancreatic cancer is not an easy one. So we were talking about our lives and about sharing life together and about the ups and downs that we've had. And somehow we got onto this topic of experiencing the presence of God, because we wanted to pray for our friend that he would experience this presence during those moments at night when he woke up in terror about what could be ahead, right? And as we shared, you know, we all said, you know, it is interesting that God meets us and makes his presence known to us in the most vulnerable times of life. I think it's this gift that he gives us. And my one friend who went through a divorce shared, yeah, you know, painful time. He said, it was painful, but on the other hand, it was so good because I feel like God drew near to me like never before. Like I just knew that God was empowering me to get through this time. We all shared similar experiences. It's kind of like I often say, you know, God's address is at the end of our rope. He meets us when we need it most. A couple weeks ago, I did a memorial service for Cheryl Knickerbocker, who was a longtime member of this church who moved to retire up in Calistoga probably, I think, about 15 years ago. So I didn't really know her, but, you know, Linda McLean told me, hey, Cheryl has been a member of our church. They watch online. This is still their church. So we had a number of conversations on the phone. She, too, was wrestling with pancreatic cancer and died. But we talked a number of times, had conversations on the phone. And I was so struck by her strength and by the peace that she had, even, you know, just a week before she died. We both knew it was coming. We planned her service. We talked about death. We talked about, you know, the fears that she might have. And she said, Steve, you know, I don't really have any fears. I'm at peace. And I could sense in her this great strength, like I often don't sense with people who are dying. I said, Cheryl, do you mind me asking a question? She said, no, sure. I said, where does this strength come from? Where does this peace come from? How do you know this during this, you know, walking through the valley of the shadow of death? She said, Steve, you know, I have had some great tragedies in my life. Some really difficult times. And as I look back on those times, I know that God was with me, maybe more than ever during those times. And I'm confident that God will be with me now, through this tough time and through this transition to new life. I have no fears. I'm at peace. So I think sometimes the Christian life is so much about remembering. Remembering about those times when God walked with us through the very lonely times or difficult times or hard times of life. Remembering those times and being confident that he will walk with us through the tough times we are experienced then or ahead. And finally, I would say that be confident that God is with you and God is big. Ultimately, I think it is God's presence that gives us this peace. It is knowing that God is with us. Remember on Easter, I preached about fear and I said, do not fear is the most common command in all of Scripture. More than anything else, God does not want us to live fearful lives. And you know what's the most common, what often follows that commandment more than anything else? Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I am with you. I am with you. And I am big, and I am powerful, and I am sovereign. Got to remember that. God's got our back. And that gives us peace. I want to close with this illustration from the movie The Bear. Do you remember that movie? Not The Bear about, you know, the TV show about a restaurant. I don't know why that's called The Bear. I like the show, but. No, The Bear, the movie about this little cub who lives in Alaska and his mother dies. And he's left alone. And, you know, as you're watching this, you just know this is going to be a short movie because this cub is going to be somebody's lunch very soon, right? Living all alone. But here's what happens. There's a great turn of events for this little cub. This big Kodiak bear takes the little bear as under his wing and begins to teach him how to be a bear. You know, how to scratch your back on a tree, teaches him how to fish in the streams for salmon, how to roll around in the fields. You know, all the essentials about being a bear. But most importantly, this great Kodiak bear, he protects this cub. He watches over him. And he is especially protecting him from this mountain lion that has been stalking them. But one day, the little cub and the Kodiak get separated, and this mountain lion seizes the opportunity he had been waiting for. And he comes swiftly and silently, amazing animal, face to face with his cub. And somehow they get this all on film. If a mountain lion could smile, he would have a huge smile on his face because he knew he was about to have a great lunch, right? And the camera focuses on the face of the mountain lion, and suddenly there's this look of fear. Not a smile by any stretch of the imagination, but this look of fear. And he immediately kind of starts backing up and slinking away. And then the camera pans back to the cub. And what he does, and he's on his feet, on his back feet, and has his hands raised high, paws. I guess they don't have hands, they have paws, right? And he thinks he scares this little mountain lion away, right? But then the camera turns around and he shows what's behind him, and there is the great Kodiak. Like this. And you know, those things are like 9 feet tall. Big paws. Fierce growl. The little bear had nothing to worry about. He didn't know his dad was near. Didn't feel him, didn't hear him. Didn't matter. The dad was there and the cub was safe. Friends, during hard times, when we're fearful, we got to know the Lord is near. We just have to remember. Remember the bear. And remember the peace that comes from knowing that the Lord is near. Amen. God, we thank you for this verse. We thank you for your peace, which is a peace of another kind that is independent of our circumstances, that is based in your very character. I pray that we would all know this peace and know that you are the good shepherd who cares for us. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.